The great Saint Ignatius is perhaps best known for his famous spiritual exercises over 30 days, where he gives an outline for a 30-day silent retreat in which the person making the retreat goes through spiritual exercises to learn how to grow closer to God, how to reject evil, how to grow in the spiritual life. Saint Ignatius learned that in addition to just giving the various steps for making the retreat, that people needed some practical advice too, to the things that he saw coming up over and over again with regards to what was going on in the mind of the person making the retreat. He found that during the retreat there were very clear workings of the good spirit and the evil spirit. Right away we see Ignatius had been a soldier, and he recognized very much battle. And as he had a big conversion in his life, he went to fighting battles not on physical battlefields in the world, but very much fighting spiritual battles. And he knew that the people making the retreat needed some help, so he actually, in addition to the exercises, in the back are his 14 rules for discernment of spirits, discerning the good spirit versus the evil spirit. The 14th of those rules, I think, is very interesting. It's one of my favorite rules. It speaks about the tactics of the evil one. So right away, we see that we're in a battle, which means that we have an enemy, and he's got tactics. And in the 14th rule, Ignatius has a bit of an analogy. And he says, picture, if you will, a nice walled medieval city. It's got a big stone wall all the way around it that protects it, that keeps out the invading bands of people who would come and try to attack the city. And the people take great pride in their wall and its defenses. But there are also these groups of kind of marauding thieves that go about the country, and they show up, and right away we see they're not honest people. They're not like an army. They're just a group of thieves, but they're formidable. They've got lots of weapons. And so they come looking at the city. And if it's typical, the army rides up and they make their camp far enough away from the city that they're out of the range of the cannons and other weapons of the city. And then what will happen is they'll send out a scouting party. The leader of the group will ride up on his horse, maybe bring a few people with them, and very methodically they'll ride around the outside of the city. And they look at the walls, and they notice it's very thick and formidable. And they go all the way around the outside of the city, and perhaps they come upon a part of the city, Ignatius says, that they notice the wall is somewhat cracked and crumbling, is in disrepair. Right away, they ride back, and immediately there the attack will begin. Not on the strong parts of the walls, as good as they are, but right at that weakest part, where the wall has not been repaired, where it's crumbling, falling apart. That's where the enemy will attack. Ignatius says that it's very much like that in the spiritual life. Satan, Scripture tells us, is very cunning. He's not going to attack us where we're strongest, where we've already got things together in our life. If we look at our life and it seems like we're always falling down at the same kind of point, if we're coming to confession, always saying, I always seem to be confessing the same sins, I always seem to be falling into this. Well, we can bet that that's like that weak point in our wall that Satan keeps riding around until he finds it, and that's where he's going to attack. So there's no shame in that. We all have those weak points, and Satan is going to attack us there. So we shouldn't necessarily feel ashamed that we keep falling down in the same way. But St. Ignatius then offers the second half of the analogy. He says, what if instead of waiting for that band of thieves to come riding up and make camp around your city, and what if during a time of peace, the people of the city said, you know what, we get these bands of thieves roaming around, and maybe we need to take a look at the wall. And so the people from the city get together, the mayor and a few of his delegates, and he goes out and he rides around his city and they admire their work. And then they come to this weak spot and they're able to say, well, wait a minute, that doesn't look very good. And so all the people of the town get together and they get stone and they cut bricks and they build up that part that had been weak. They find it ahead of time and say, we're vulnerable here. Let's strengthen it, build it up. Now, when those bands of thieves come, they ride around and not seeing any weakness. There's only two options, retreat and go away, or try to attack the city, even strongly fortified, at great, great cost. We're coming up on the season of Lent. We begin this Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. Lent is a great time for going out and riding around our walls. See where our weak points are. Because if we don't, certainly the devil will. He's going to go around and find where to attack us. What if we went out instead? Found those places where maybe we're a little weak. Maybe we're able to say, I keep falling down with this particular area. What can I do to fix that? Here in our parish, we know that it's important sometimes to be specific. Because if we just have the idea that during Lent, I'll try to be better. Well, that's good. But maybe we need some specific goals. And Father Brian, you know, God has given him great graces as our pastor to know what is it, what's the weaknesses of our family. And not just our family, but through our archbishop, you know, our archdiocesan family and our Holy Father. And one of the things that, as we look at society, if ever we've had a weak point, we see very much that the devil is attacking our families and marriage. Marriage and family is under attack right now by the devil more than ever in history. He's scoped us out well. And he knows not that that's not only our weakness, but he knows precisely this is exactly God's plan to save the world. There is nothing greater that God has created in his plan of salvation than marriage and family. So the devil is attacking us right where it's most important and right where we seem to be weakest. So to kind of counteract that, Father Brian has studied a lot about the theology of the body. The teachings of John Paul II about the goodness of sex and marriage and family. John Paul II, when he first became Pope, he has a Wednesday audience every week. He spent the first couple years of his pontificate every Wednesday talking about the goodness and beauty of married sexuality in lectures he called then the theology of the body. Father Brian has studied this well and is going to begin next weekend with a special introductory class on the theology of the body at 7:00 next Sunday. And then probably if you come to that, you're going to get excited. You can stop there if you want, but for the next 4 weeks, we've got a great speaker, Christopher West. We'd like to have him here. He's not going to be here, but we're going to have him on his special recorded classes that he made to understand the theology of the body. This is so important that we're giving a lot of our focus this Lent as a parish family, say if we could only focus on one thing, not that we limit it to just one, but we think that is so important that everyone, sometimes we think that the church's teaching on sex and marriage is all don't do this, don't do that, definitely don't do that. And it sounds like, gosh, the church just wants to take away all our fun. Hardly, hardly. You will never love the church's teachings on anything more than you will on marriage and family after you understand the theology of the body. So I encourage you, it's one of the great ways we can ride around our wall and say, we've got to fix this weakness because we are falling down and losing all over the place in this battle for our families. We've got to start being proactive and take it back. So that's part of that. We also know that part of healing the walls, fixing, we got to get to confession. That's the other effort this Lent that our Archbishop is so wonderful. He's decided that this Lent, in order to reawaken a great love of confession, that every parish in the whole archdiocese, on every Wednesday night of Lent, other than Ash Wednesday, every Wednesday night of Lent, from 6 to 7 p.m., you can go to any parish in the entire archdiocese, and the priest will be there to hear your confession. We have already a great devotion to confession in this parish, but we can do better. There are lots of people out there who are maybe scared, who haven't been to confession in a while. let's not be afraid to get out right around our walls a little bit. See where, maybe because of our own sin, we're weak. And then build those walls back up. And the great news about confession is we don't do that on our own. God does most of the work. Our psalm today tells us very plainly, God is our fortress. We come to confession to allow God to heal our walls, to strengthen us. We know there's a lot of hurt out there from marriage and family with great difficulties. A lot of people are carrying around a lot of burden of that sin. Bring it to confession. Come to the classes. Allow God to heal our lives this Lent. If we do that, then we'll be like that wise group of townspeople who built up their walls ahead of time, who refused to allow those attacks constantly to come and break us down. Sometimes, indeed, the best defense is a good offense. We get out there, we decide we're not going to take this anymore, and we're going to take back our society, marriage, family, our lives, as we use the best weapons we've got, confession, the gift of the Eucharist. We pray that this Lent will be a great time of healing and rebuilding, that we will arrive at Easter as truly a strong city built on rock, the rock of our faith, the rock of the true knowledge of the love of our Heavenly Father.